Welcome to the sermon from Silver Lake Baptist Church. Our mission is to celebrate the greatness of God with all we are for the joy, hope, and renewal of our community. We are so glad you have chosen to listen to our message. We pray you will be blessed by your time with us today.
Good morning.
Good morning, Pastor.
How are y'all doing?
Good.
We got kind of a pretty day now. It was raining a little earlier, wasn't it? Not going to complain, though, right? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for always being there with us and that we know that you're for us. Holy Spirit, I just ask that you speak through me this morning in the mighty name of
Jesus.
Amen. Amen. So before I say anything, I want to say we had a couple birthdays. I know Thursday it was Crystal's birthday. So happy birthday, Crystal. And today, I believe, is Pastor Wayne's birthday. Happy birthday, Pastor Wayne. Pastor Wayne, Pastor Wayne. Right? I think Therese brought a cake, so there's a cake back there if you guys want some cake afterwards. But happy birthday to both of you guys. We love you and appreciate you. Anybody else have a birthday, or is it just those two? I mean, I know everyone has birthdays, right? Does anyone not have a birthday, or did you just like... just like walk out here, it's like I disappeared one day, right? We all have birthdays, but I want to make sure you're celebrated because you all matter. I'm going to dig right in here, and I'm going to go into 2 Chronicles, and I'm going to start here. But last week I was talking about the power of God's word and the power of the spoken word, right? And when God sows his word, that his word won't return void, but it'll accomplish what he set it out to do. And then I went on and talked about holding your peace, right? Now, holding your peace doesn't mean just being quiet, but it means when all hell's breaking loose around you, you have a place where you can go where you can trust and you can rest in God. Like when the Israelites, right, where they were leaving, God sent them, right? He's like, hey, I want you to go this way. They go that way, and they're right at the Red Sea, and they got the Egyptian army coming down on top of them, and God says this, if you hold your peace and let the Lord fight your battle, right? And so I want to hold my peace. Now, what does that mean, hold my peace? It doesn't mean that I'm quiet, right? But what it means is that I rest in God's peace, right? Because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but he is peace. He is hope. So in the midst of it, when we see that word peace, we just think about, oh, well, it's a feeling, but it's more than just a feeling. It means a completeness, meaning that I have more than I'll ever need or more than I ever needed, and it all comes in one person, and his name is Jesus, right? He's our peace that has broken down every wall. A lot of times we think hold our peace means we don't say anything. Like, you need to hold your peace. And I'm like, that's not what it means, right? That's out of context, right? Hold your peace means I'm going to rest in what God said. And so he said, I want you to hold your peace. And he's like, why are you guys crying? He said, take authority. He's like, walk in. He said, step in. And like the Jewish people always talk about how one guy's like, you know what? I'm going to start walking. And so I think his name was, I can't remember his name for some reason. But this one dude, they said that he walked in and just walked till he got about up to here, and then the waters parted. Now, Scripture says that Moses, like, took his staff. Well, what's a staff? It's his authority. Well, what's our authority? The Word of God, right? What is God saying? So I hold my peace and rest in what he said, and then when I speak, I don't just speak what I want to say. I speak what he said about the situation, right? So we're coming in here to 2 Chronicles in chapter 7. And you see that Solomon has built the temple like he had promised he wanted to do. He had built the temple. And so now they're having this dedication service, and they're dedicating the service to God, right? And so it says this. So now Solomon says a prayer after he designates the temple. It's in 2 Chronicles 7:1, it says, when Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it. When all the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, "He is good, and His love endures till we mess up." His love endures for a few moments, as long as we're doing everything right. His love endures for what?
Forever.
For how long?
Forever.
How long is forever? Some of you are like, about as long as this sermon is. Right? Wish you'd hurry up, right? His love endures for what?
Forever.
Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord, and King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 head of cattle. That's a lot of cattle. Like, I'm a cowboy. Like when I was younger, I used to work at a stockyard, right? And we'd run through like I think 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 head of cattle. That was a lot of cattle. And I promise you, I was there early, and I was there till late at night running that many cattle through. I don't know how they got all these cattle through. That's a lot of cattle, right? It's a good barbecue, though, right? 22,000 head, unless you don't like meat, then I'll eat your portion, right? 22,000 head of cattle and 120,000 sheep and goats. So the king and all the people dedicated the temple of God. The priests took their positions, as did the Levites and the Lord's musical instruments, which King David had made for praising the Lord, and which were used when he gave thanks, saying, "His love endures till we mess up." His love endures as long as we're doing everything right. What is it? His love endures for what?
Forever.
How long's forever?
Forever?
Again, it's about as long as a sermon, right? His love endures for what?
Forever.
Forever. Opposite the Levites, the priests blew their trumpets, and all the Israelites were standing. Solomon consecrated the middle part of the courtyard in front of the temple of the Lord, and there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the fellowship offerings, because the bronze altar he had made could not hold the burnt offerings, the grain offerings, and the fat portions. Now that's impressive. So Solomon had observed the festival at that time for 7 days, and all the people with him. A vast assembly of people from Labo, Hamath, to the Wadi of Egypt. On the eighth day they held an assembly, for they had celebrated the dedication of the altar for 7 days and the festival for 7 days more. And on the 23rd day of the seventh month, he sent the people to their homes joyful and glad in heart for the good things the Lord had done for David and Solomon and for all his people. So now he had dedicated this temple, right? Remember, David wanted to do it, but God had said, "Hey, no, we're going to have Solomon do it," right? Which his name literally means peace, right? And so it was the peace that brought the power of God. It's His peace that shows us that it's His love that endures forever. And when we rest in His peace and trust what He's doing, then that's where we have our victory, right? Scripture says that Jesus is our what? He's our peace that does what? It breaks down every wall. And so we can trust Him no matter what's going on in our lives or no matter what it looks like. So here they just had all this celebration, and everybody's going home and they're happy and they're joyful and they've seen the glory of God fall, and it was amazing. And then the Lord appears to Solomon. And I love this, because this is what he said. When Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord and the royal palace, and had succeeded in carrying out all he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord and in his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, "I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there was no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people So there's a big word there. It's just two letters. It's just two letters. But it's big. I was at Fort Worth for a horse show, and I was sitting down there. I was with my mentor, who's a 5-time world champion, 4-time reserve world champion, just amazing man who loves Jesus. And then I remember sitting at breakfast with a guy that had trained under him, who I used to watch on TV, and me and Linda are sitting there, and Linda don't get it, but I do. I'm like, oh my gosh, these are my heroes. It's so amazing. And so we got done watching his son and his grandson's show, and so we're coming out of Fort Worth, and we stop at a little place called Brahms. It's an ice cream store. So me and Linda and Sonny's wife, his name was Sonny Rice, and Sonny's wife, Gloria, we already go through the line. But Sonny's in there, and he's talking to these young ladies that are behind the counter. And they're like, well, how's your day going? And we're already outside eating ice cream. So he goes, well, I'm doing good. How's your day going? And they said, good. He said, can I ask you a question? And they said, what? And he's like, do you know how big the word if is? They said, no, we don't. We don't know how big the word if is. It's like two letters in it. That's pretty small, right? They said, what do you mean? He goes, well, just like this. If I hadn't become an alcoholic when I was like 13, my life would have been a whole lot different. That didn't happen. If I would have made this choice, then my life would have been a whole lot different. If this wouldn't have happened in my life, then things would have been a whole lot different. Now that word if becomes really big, right? And so they're like, yeah. He goes, I got one more question for you. If you died right now, do you know where you would go? Do you know Jesus? If. Do you know what happened? The two girls behind the counter, another girl cleaning, all said, we don't know him, but we want to know him, because we don't want to deal with the word if anymore. And while we were eating our ice cream, Sonny is in there leading people to Jesus. Amen. But how big is that word if for you? What if this happened? Or what if this didn't happen? Where would I be? Or how would my life be? What's going on in your world that seems so big and so great that it impacts your life in a way that can literally reach eternity? There's a young man, well, I guess it's over a week ago, who was shot and killed. And see, I don't talk a lot about it because a lot of people take things as political. But there's nothing political about that. And I'll tell you why. This had a real big effect on me in some ways because my grandma, she's a Kirk. And so as I thought about it, the young man's name's Charlie Kirk. But I liked Charlie. He was okay. I didn't agree on him with everything, right? I mean, for heaven's sake, he liked the Oregon Ducks football team. I mean, nobody's perfect, right? We're still praying for him, right? I didn't agree with everything, right? But I remember I'd see him every once in a while go, yeah, go. That always reminded me of my grandma. Like, I buy this hand soap. It's called Kirk's because it reminded me of my grandma, right? My grandma was gritty, right? She went right before, it was like a couple months before she passed away, she was starting to go downhill, and so they called the pastor in to pray for her. And he went in, and he's like, in the name of Jesus, you be healed. And she punched him. He walked away twice. He walked away with a bloody nose and a black eye. And they said, why did you punch him? And she said, because I know how big my God is. And if you pray for him to heal me, he's going to heal me, and then I'm going to be stuck here longer. I want to go. And so I was like, she said, when you pray for older people, make sure they want to stay before you do, because I believe in the Word of God, right? She's the one who, my dad was a preacher, she's the one that told my dad, she's like, when you preach, you know what you do? Close your eyes, right? Because then you won't see them. So my dad would preach, and he'd preach with his eyes closed, but he could see. Like, he moved all around, like he was a freak, man, right? But it was all my grandma's fault, right? So I think about both of my grandmas. I loved them, and I was really close to them, so I always associated that with my grandma. And then my son, he listened to him all the time, and he had a big impact, not just on his life, but his wife's life, who grew up Catholic but wasn't really sure about God, but because of what Charlie Kirk did, she believes in what goes to church. So now tell me something. And then I can think of countless other young people. And so I don't want to ever turn the pulpit into a place that's other than about Jesus. But I think there are certain things in this world where we have to address and say, you know something? We've got to come to a place as believers where we love and we reach out to people. And there's no division in God's kingdom. There's not left and right. There's not conservative and liberal in the kingdom of God. God's not a conservative. He's not a Republican. He's not a Democrat. And he's not an independent. He is the King of Kings, right? And so it says here, there's a word, and it says this. If what? If my people, whose people? God's people. If my people, who are what? Called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will take everything out on the people you don't like. And will what?
Forgive.
And will forgive their sin and will what?
Heal their land.
Now it's this. If, there's that word again. If my people. That means we get a choice. We get a choice. Are we going to choose between life or are we going to choose death? Are we going to choose love or are we going to choose division? Are we going to choose to rest in God's peace and love like Jesus did? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. What is he saying? Humble. To humble yourself literally means, you know what? I can't earn my salvation. I can't earn anything from God. Everything that I receive is a gift from God, right? So it doesn't come from what I do. It comes from what he did on the cross. So I know that it was completely finished and that it's completely done, right? And so now to humble myself is to say, you know what? I'm going to turn from my wicked ways. Well, what's your wicked ways? Trying to earn my own salvation is a form of wickedness through my works. Because you know what you're saying? It's okay, I don't need your work. I don't need your finished work. I don't need Jesus because I can do it all on my own. And that's not what Jesus came for. That's not what he died for. He came for us to be free. And whom the Son sets free is free
indeed.
Indeed. It's about freedom that he set us free. And so we got a choice. We can walk in love. And we can walk in peace. And we can walk in hope. And we can rest in what God says, even in the midst of the hard times. Or we can walk trying to do it all ourselves. Because the Bible says, it's not by might, nor by power, but what? By my spirit. Says who? So in Acts, there's this dude. Anybody hear of a dude named Stephen? Right? We hear over in Acts chapter 5, verse 33, when Gamaliel, he's a very well-known Pharisee, Jewish guy, right? And he told him, he's like, they're wanting to wipe all these guys out and to kill them. And he's like, you know, you tried this with these guys, and then it caused more of an uprise, but then they scattered. But he goes, I'm telling you, let me paraphrase this. If you take this guy out, you're going to explode his message rather than just if you'll leave him alone. He actually says this. He said, leave these men alone. Let them go, for if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. So now we see Stephen, he's accused of stuff he didn't do. And so he stands up and he's in front of the Sanhedrin, and they say this. Then the high priest asked him, are these charges true? To these he replied, brothers and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia before he lived in Haran. Leave your country and your people, God said, and go to the land that I will show you. Now that story he's talking about is actually happened in Genesis, and it actually wasn't Abraham that he told that to, but it was Abraham's dad named Terah. So God told Terah, he said, I want you to get up. And so Terah went to the land of Haran and camped there and wouldn't go any farther. And then the scripture says this. The reason he wouldn't go any farther is because he had another son. And his son was named Haran. He had Abraham and he had Haran. Now, Haran, the Bible says, was off hunting and he got killed in an accident. And I'll never forget this story because before I came up here to Washington, I was on my way up and I was like, God, I can't leave my land. I can't go here and I can't do this. Like, I'm a cowboy, right? I'm from Oklahoma. I was like, what am I going to do? And God says, I want you to go. And then he showed me the story of Haran. And he said, you know why Terah stopped? And you know why he stopped at Haran? Because he couldn't get over the place of that hurt and that tragedy. He got stuck. And he stayed there. And he lived there. And so do you know what God did? God said, well, that didn't work out. I guess we're stuck. No. You know what he did? He took Abram. And Abram went. He didn't have a cell phone. There's no McDonald's along the way. Right? No GPS. He's just like following God. I guess there was a GPS, God positioning satellite. And he went where God told him to go. And he trusted God and he rested in God. But what if Terah had said, you know something? That really hurts. That's really horrible. But God, I'm going to trust you anyway. And I'm going to go on. And I'm not going to stop right here in my hurt. And I'm not going to stop right here in my pain. But I'm going to accomplish what you set me here on this earth to do. Because we can get stuck. We get in a place where we're angry and devastated, and we just give up, or we get cynical, or we start attacking everybody. You ever heard a story, the saying, hurt people hurt people? Right? So anyway, so it goes on. I always think that this is a great, great message. He's got like this whole chapter of preaching to them, right? And then he ends up in 744 with our forefathers had the tabernacle of testimony with them in the desert, and it had been made as God directed Moses according to the pattern he had seen, having received the tabernacle our fathers Joshua brought with them when they took the land from our nations God drove out before them. It remained in the land until the time of David, who enjoyed God's favor and asked that he might provide a dwelling place for the God of Jacob. But it was Solomon, remember we're just reading about Solomon, who built the house for him. However, the Most High does not live in houses made by men. As a prophet said, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things? Actually, the Bible says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Guess where Jesus lives now? Right here in us. And I want to tell you something. I was like, for this generation, for you young guys out there, I'm telling you, you are the greatest generation to ever live. And one day, you guys will see, look back and see that God had a great plan in your lives and he knew what he was doing, because I believe that with all my heart. He has a plan and a purpose for you, and you are made for this time. Now, I don't preach a lot on Jesus coming back, and I know people are saying he's supposed to come back next week. And if he does, he does. Like, I got the pan theory. It's all going to pan out, right? Because I know him. So if he comes back, I'm coming with him. But while all these people are stuck on Jesus coming back, there's a generation that's here that wants to live right now, fulfill their calling right now. And that's exactly what God called you to do. You guys are world changers. God has a plan for you that is bigger than you ever dreamed. But he's just saying, hey, you know what? I want to give you the choice. Like he said, if my people, says, if you'll just surrender to me and trust me with your life, I'll show off in ways that you could never imagine. Now, we see Stephen here. He literally ends this prayer, and he's kind of hard. He's like, you stiff-necked people with an uncircumcised hearts and ears, you're just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit, right? And then he's talking to him, and when they heard this, they were furious, and they gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to the heavens and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And it says this, it bothered them so bad they couldn't listen to what he was saying. They didn't want to hear what he was saying, so they were like covering their ears. And they're like, we got to take him out because what he's saying ain't true. And do you know what they did? They drug him out and they stoned him. They stoned him for what he was saying. They stoned him for what he believed. And it says this, while they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord, wipe them all out. Kill them all. Kill them all and let the devil sort them out. No. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he said this, he fell asleep. And I think one of the wildest things is the very next scripture, because it says this in 8:1. And Saul was there, giving approval to his death. Does anybody know who Saul was in the Bible? It's the Apostle Paul. Do you know what he was doing? He was holding the coats. And it said and you read on, and it said that on that day, great persecution broke out against the church, right? And it was Paul who spearheaded it. Saul who spearheaded it. The very one that was right there when Stephen got killed, when he got murdered. Saul was literally a part of it. And on his way to persecute Christians, you know what Jesus did? He knocked him off his horse. He's like, why are you persecuting me? See, they think people think they're persecuting believers. They're really not persecuting the believers. They're persecuting Jesus. They're persecuting his word. I didn't write this. God did. But you know what Saul became? Most of this New Testament is written by that same man. That's why we walk in love. See, we can only see what we can see. But what they didn't see was they were sparking the greatest revival that they were fearing, they couldn't even imagine. And God took what was meant for evil and turned it for what? Good. Turned it for good. That's why we trust the Lord. We trust in the Lord and let Him fight our battles. Fight from the Spirit, not from the flesh. We love. There's another thing I was talking about my grandma. Her maiden name was Kirk, but her mom's maiden name was Robinson. The man who killed Charlie Kirk, his last name was Robinson. Robinson. There's just one N difference. I thought it was just me that noticed it, and I was talking to my sister, and she goes, hey, did you see that? I was like, yes, I did. And you know what I had at that moment? Compassion. Because there's a mom and a dad and a family that are affected on that side too. There's a young man that Charlie Kirk's probably sitting there saying, Lord, don't hold this sin against him. Forgive him. And for those out there who are hateful and hurt and bitter, Charlie wouldn't ask for that. He'd been saying, forgive him. Just like Stephen did. Just like Jesus did on the cross. What are we going to do? Got choice. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your peace. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, it's simple. The Bible says you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth and you are saved. And so, Father, we just thank you right now that there is no ifs, that we know secure that we are your people and we are called by your name and we have a purpose and a plan and that you are for us. And so we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to learn more about us, check out our website at www.silverlakebaptist.org.